4 seconds for Conley. Starts his drive, floats it up and in. Valanciunas fouled by Capella with 1/10 of a second.
That was a brutal way to lose a very strange basketball game last night. Good morning on a Thursday. The Rockets were down big. I felt like it would be one of those games where they probably just kind of fade into the distance. Instead, they made a massive rally. They hit a ton of threes in the fourth, even in the overtime. And then they lost on a foul call with 0.1 seconds on the clock.
How did people feel about that? I didn't check social media. let me take a guess. People were irate about the fact that Clint Capella got called for putting his hand on the arm of a guy who's shooting the basketball.
They were upset. I don't know if they were outraged by it.
Would I say there were a few outraged people?
There were a few outraged
this
people.
I can't fake outrage over the way that game ended. I'm happy that they were in it at all. I think largely if the game had just stayed the way it was, which was just a classic, hey, 7th game in 10 nights, guys are tired, it looks like a lackluster effort, and it had faded that way, I kind of would have been okay with it. These things happen. Every good team has these things down the stretch. But it was particularly heart-wrenching because it came at the tail of this incredible flurry of a comeback, just of an incredible, just crazy. And it was awesome. And if anything, the most encouraging part of it was that as I worry about James Harden being exhausted after this ridiculous season that he's had, he didn't look exhausted last night through the fourth and overtime quarters.
Was that a foul? I thought it was a foul.
Yeah, it was a foul.
Sorry.
I don't even know. Is it an issue? Are people saying it wasn't a foul?
There are
many. I don't think
many.
It was a foul.
And not to mention, the only reason they were in that situation was because Capella made a perfect soccer pass to James Harden with his used the instep of his foot and everything on a kickball that wasn't called.
Capella boxed him out. Valanciunas had his hands on the back of Capella. He didn't shove him, and then Capella unfortunately armbarred Valanciunas at the absolute worst time. It was a foul on Capella. I don't think it was a foul on Valanciunas. It's borderline at best. And ultimately, people are losing their minds over it.
Well, you could.
Some, only a small minority,
yeah.
But it's enough where I just want to tell the Warrell Army again, the people that have, over time, watching Rockets broadcasts on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest, Fox Sports Southwest, all the broadcasts, I feel like there are too many people that assume that every single call is going to be against the Rockets. I understand where people think it was a bad call. Again, it was borderline. His hands were on the back of Capella, and Capella did have good positioning.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an over-the-back to me. It was a guy who made a great rebound while Capella had his arm locked around Valanciunas' right arm.
Well, even if you're going to complain about the officials, and I try not to begrudge fans for complaining about the officials because that's a natural human condition. But in that last 10 or 15 seconds or so, you've got Capella that just, it's a blatant kickball that was missed. He kicked the ball to Harden to put them in that situation. Then Valanciunas, could you have called over the back there? I suppose so, but put yourself.
They were never going to call
put
that.
Yourself ever. In the other situation. If that were Clint Capella that were behind Valanciunas there, and they had called over the back on Capella, you would have lost your damn mind.
Yes.
Like, that's the ticky-tack foul that you don't call in that instance. I don't expect the officials to not make a call on a guy who has his hand on a shooter's arm.
Yes.
Like, that's just, you got to call that. If you're the official, you don't think about what moment of the game it is, or necessarily how they got there. If you weren't going to call the one call because it would have been ticky-tack, but then you see a hand on a guy's arm, you call it. And I will defend the glorious officials in this one instance, in this one instance alone. 364 other days a year, 365 days on leap year, they can go jump off a bridge.
I got into the game last night. I mean, they had a huge rally. It seemed like it was a really good atmosphere at the FedEx Forum in Memphis last night. Rockets lost at the end 126-125. If you're just joining us on a Thursday morning, they lost because Memphis had the ball 15 seconds to go. Mike Conley missed a shot, but on the ensuing rebound, Jonas Valanciunas got the rebound, and Clint Capella was called for a foul with literally 0.1 seconds to go in the game. I didn't have an issue with the foul call. It was just a weird way to end the game. It was such an exciting game, an exciting finish, and all of a sudden, 0.1 seconds to go. You have a guy going to the free throw line, and he's obviously going to make one of two shots. It reminded me to a much, 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 much lesser extent of like the end of the Super Bowl when the Patriots got the ball with the Malcolm Butler pick. It was so exciting. It was such an unbelievable finish. And I was like, okay, well, we're done. Okay, loss. All right, let's go home.
And then Chandler Parsons went out with Johnny Manziel after the game. We know that much.
For dinner, quote.
For dinner after the game. Well, yeah, look, these two guys have settled down. Johnny Manziel's a married man.
Sure they have.
He's a long-standing veteran, just one of the glorified souls in the Alliance of American Football, the Alliance, as they like to call it. And he and Chandler Parsons, who has the knees of a 97-year-old man, they went out for a nice dinner, probably had a cappuccino or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that Johnny Manziel, who was kicked out of the CFL under extremely dubious reasons, I'm sure that he and Chandler Parsons are just going out for dinner. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
That's all.
Absolutely
that's all
sure of it.
Chandler Parsons, who's old before his time, just for no particular reason. Can't because of hard living or anything
hang on.
Like that.
It's a Wednesday night in Memphis. Yeah. Manziel's married.
Yeah.
How late do you think they stayed out?
No, you can go. You can have yourself a good time in Memphis.
I'm sure
that's
you can.
That's a fun town. That's a blues and rock and roll city.
They have a song about walking in it.
Yeah.
They do. Well, let's see.
You think you can't get into trouble into Memphis? Have you not seen any meth documentaries out there? There's all kinds of trouble to get into
Memphis.
Some
assassinations there, too.
It says 45% of all meth documentaries are centered in Memphis.
I'm sure Johnny Manziel, what was I going to say? Does Manziel can get himself into trouble in any situation.
Oh, yeah, he's proven that.
Yeah, it's not like
the suburbs of Houston or wherever.
Anywhere.
I could imagine in an episode, an I Love Lucy-esque episode, where Johnny Manziel gets lost in the FedEx factory and ends up in a box, and Chandler Parsons has to rescue him from it, because that's what Memphis is known for, FedEx. You know, those are the kind of things that happen when Johnny Manziel goes out for dinner.
Is there a movie where somebody got lost in a FedEx facility?
I don't know, but they should make one. Let's make it. Johnny Manziel, Chandler Parsons, they go out for dinner, and they end up stuck in a FedEx factory.
I'll actually choose to believe that they just went out for dinner. Think about this. Memphis has a road game in Orlando Friday, so today's going to be
over.
Today's going to be a travel day.
Their season's over. They don't care.
I can't deny that. The season is over, but Parsons played an overtime game. He played the equivalent of five quarters last night.
11 granted, points.
Granted, he had two big threes last night in the overtime. You know, he played 25 minutes last night. I think they went out for a nice dinner, and then they called it a night.
If you're the city of Memphis, you got to start thinking, like, what is this, like, the city of broke-down white boys? What the hell? Like, we got bilked into spending a bunch of money on Chandler Parsons when it was obvious that his knees were shot. Now we're bringing in Johnny Manziel to be the savior of our beloved AAF football team. It doesn't make any sense. AAF is redundant, but AAF football team, that's redundant. Just AAF team.
Yeah. The Alliance.
The Alliance. Yeah. The Alliance of... We're going to let people bludgeon our quarterbacks.
That was amusing, though, finding out after the game last night that Parsons and Manziel were going to go hang out.
For dinner. Seth, I want to bring up something that you mentioned a little bit ago about this game last night, because, yeah, a lot of people are talking about the call. But James Harden, at the very end of this game, was terrifying. I mean, he was awesome. 28 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. And we're talking about this on a back-to-back. I think this might be the best display of endurance that he's ever shown.
Yeah.
And that's saying something given the last few years with all the games that he has played. And it might be also the most dominant closeout to a game that he's had. That to me is a frustrating reason for this loss, because it's not just that they tried so hard and got too far, but in the end it didn't matter. It's also, I mean, that you saw James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella play 40 plus minutes on a back-to-back night. Overtime sort of lends itself to that, but I will take the positive of James Harden was awesome down the stretch in this game.
He was awesome, and you know, obviously the shooting, some of the turnovers he created. A lot of my fears about how long his body can hold up were actually, I guess, the fears were assuaged with that performance last night, even though it was in a loss. And I can take that loss, no problem. These are the kinds of loss that you come out of this stretch of winning 11 of 12.
Yes.
Winning 11 and a 12 going into this game. And that's a hell of a stretch at this point in the season. And as tight as things are, you gotta hate every single loss. But this is the kind of loss that I can still feel better about this than, say, when the Warriors lost to Phoenix. Like, the Warriors lose to Phoenix and it just looked like crap. This looked like crap for a good chunk of the game. If I'm going to be concerned about anything, it's the fact that I've now seen Clint Capella just get completely bullied and out-physicaled and out-toughed in a couple of games. And won a big game with DeMarcus Cousins just taking control of everything. And now in this one with Valanciunas obviously winning the physical battle in this game. I'm worried that something's different. Something's different about Clint since he came back from the thumb. And I don't know what it would be other than... It seems like it should be long enough for him to have his endurance back. I don't know what it would be that about his thumb that's creating him, like giving him a problem in these physical mismatches.
In a nutshell, Jonas Valanciunas, who averages 12-7, had career high 33 points and 17 rebounds. As the Rockets continue to struggle rebounding, that to me was noteworthy. And I think you're onto something. The bigger guys than him are pushing him around of late.
Yeah. Well, I actually disagree with you guys as we're discussing the Rockets situation, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Thursday, losing by a point last night in overtime. Clint's more inconsistent. He's a question mark against these bigger guys, don't get me wrong. But if you're looking at these last couple of games, I get people are going to say, hey, he was outplayed by DeMarcus Cousins last week. He was outplayed last night by Valanciunas. Agreed. But in the middle, he had a really good showing against Towns, 20 points, 13 rebounds on Sunday, and Towns has been just tearing up the league recently. Mm-hmm. So when I look at Clint, for me it's more...
He's already owned Towns, though.
I don't
take Towns seriously after the playoffs.
Okay.
Until I see, just like every other player in the NBA, once they have a miserable non-show up in the playoffs like that, you don't take them for real until they actually do it in the playoffs again.
But you know what I mean. I mean, he has been genuinely tremendous in the last, like, month or so. He's been really, really good. So when I look at Clint, it's more that he's kind of a, not a wild card, but I'm never exactly sure what I'm going to get.
Right. So that doesn't concern you?
It does concern me, yeah.
Like, so I shouldn't be concerned about the fact that Clint's gotten owned by a couple of bigger dudes.
I can't tell anybody how to feel. I'm saying is that it's too much to go blanket statement saying, I don't want the idea to be like, hey, when Clint Capela plays against a good center, he gets outplayed. Because he just played one of the best guys and outplayed him 4 nights ago.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's the one point I'm making.
But I'm trying to, I guess, make the difference in how he has to play versus Karl Anthony Towns compared to DeMarcus Cousins or Valanciunas. Would you put all three of those in the same category of physical play?
Well, that's the thing. Like, of those guys, Towns is clearly the best player.
He's the best player, and he's the most... Okay.
I mean, that's the thing about it. Like, Towns, of those guys, is clearly the best player. Now,
I'm thinking a style of play, though. Would you put him as physically imposing as DeMarcus Cousins?
No, not even close.
Yeah. I think, like, Towns is a more physically talented player, but not, like...
He wants to sit outside the three.
He's not a bruiser. He's not a bruiser. Like, I'm worried about guys that might be able to bruise Capela.
Understood.
Particularly when they're not even bruisers doing the bruising.
Same. I feel the same way. Towns is the kind of guy who you're pissed off at the Y because he's sitting outside the three-point line and taking shots, even though he's 8 feet tall and everyone else is, like, 5'11 and Paul Gallant's height.
It's one of those you get mad at God more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, why did you bless him with all this? Why have you forsaken me? I'm Job out here on the basketball court.